Hi, this is Susan McLean Pontz. Welcome to episode 006 of Unlock Your Life. And today we're going to talk about how your little voice is actually your money compass. Most people think about our little voice as our worst enemy, and it's often treated that way. But the thing is, even though it can sound really harsh, it's also a compass if you use it in a wise way. And how that could be is what we're going to touch upon today. Now, we have been talking about our little voice multiple times over the past episodes, and it's crucial and really high time to dive deep into what your little voice actually is and how you can work with it. Now, the inner voice, some people know what I mean by the word little voice, and some people say, what, little voice? What's that? And the thing is, everyone has a little voice. No matter if you're 8, 18, or 80, whether you're the Dalai Lama, Donald Trump, or just some regular person from the street, everyone has a little voice, and most people have more than one. And the little voice is that little voice that just went, little voice? What little voice? I don't have it. That's your little voice. This little voice is what tries to get us to behave and act in a certain way. It's fueled by our beliefs, our habits, what we've experienced or what we have not experienced, and it executes and helps us execute. And the thing is, the little voice is often not a really friendly one. Mine is never friendly. For some people, it can be a little friendly, but our little voice, it's often the voice that treats us in a way that you would never treat your best friend. The thing is, I just said, it executes and it helps us execute. And that in and of itself is actually quite good to know. The problem is not, in fact, that a little voice helps us. The problem is that it's dominantly pushed by our subconscious mind. We've been talking about the subconscious for 5 episodes, so if you want to know more about that, just listen back to the previous episodes. But the little voice is dominantly pushed by our subconscious. So it helps us create, but it helps us create from our subconscious and not from our conscious patterns. And that is why so many people say, I don't want that little voice. I just want to kill it. I want to shush it. I don't want to hear it. Because it reminds us of our subconscious. And this episode, I will tell you why that's actually good news and how you can work with it instead of against it. So the little voice tends to do and help out with whatever you ask it to. Except the most things it does, you don't want. Because you didn't consciously ask for them. You subconsciously did. So how can we use it? Now, I said a while ago, most people think that if they just kill that voice, they'll be safe. We tend to think that the voice itself is the problem. And if you think that, you're very mistaken. That is why people who meditate to quiet the voice and do all sorts of inner work to destroy the voice all end up in the same patterns again, because the voice is not the problem. The whole point is, it's trying to help you. So if you kill it without understanding it, it will just get angry back. And most of us know what that looks like. For me, it looks a little bit like this. Like, I make a decision and I commit to the decision. And I do everything that way from now on. And today's the day that everything will change. And I make a conscious decision. And I kill the little voice once in a while. I've done it 100 times. I know what I'm talking about. And hey, that should work, right? If I just kill the voice, I should be fine. I did it this way for years. And at first, it does work. Until that day where I wake up resenting everybody because I have to work so hard, because I never have free time, or because I'm not getting the results and it's not going fast enough. So all of a sudden, my poker face and my mask drop and I see what I'm actually trying to do. And then I find out that a lot of things I've been doing didn't work out. And I get into arguments with my kids over nothing. And I get into arguments with my husband defending why I've been doing it that way. And eventually I give up. Because in the end, I just want people to leave me alone. And I just want to have a good time. And I somehow find myself not living into my commitments anymore because I didn't make them from the right place. That's what happens for me when I try to kill my little voice. And I've tested this for years. I've also tested it with clients. It seems to work a little bit similar. It can look a little bit different, but in the end, it's all pretty much the same for most people. So what's going on then? What's going on is that you haven't changed anything, just the actions. And that is something like printing a page. So making, typing out a page on your computer, printing it out on your printer, then you discover a typo and you take the page from the printer, you erase the typo and you put it on the page again and you say, hey, I fixed it. That looks great. And then the next time you need a new printout, you print the exact same page and you think, what? There's the typo again. I erased it. Now, most people get this example because you didn't erase it in your page on your computer. You erased it on the page from the printer. But if you just kill your little voice and keep out trying to think that you will get new results from different actions, that's actually the same thing as erasing on a page and hoping that your computer knows what you just erased on the page. It just doesn't work that way. No matter how hard you try, no matter how angry you get, your printer cannot know what you didn't send it. So, what is going on? Actually, your little voice is a bodyguard. I tend to think of it as a bodyguard. And most bodyguards have been trained to kill. To kill all enemies, no matter how persistent they might be. Well, not most bodyguards have not been trained that way, but your little voice has been trained to kill all its enemies, no matter how persistent they may be. And it's actually doing a hell of a job at it. Now, you programmed the little voice, what it should look out for and what it should kill and what it should not kill. So as long as you don't give it a different assignment, it will do whatever it takes to make it happen. And even if you change your actions, it will just take a detour and say, okay, well, if you're doing different actions, that's fine, but you still didn't give me a different assignment, so, okay, I'll work with you, but I'll just do it secretly or hide out or take it down in a month or whatever. So if you change your actions, the little voice will change its actions too. So what can we do? We need to reprogram the little voice, and we need to work with it a while until it starts to believe that we're right. You cannot tell an army to kill all the Germans, for example, for years, saying that all the Americans are good. And then 20, 30 years later, out of the blue, say, okay, no, let's switch roles. Now we're killing all the Americans and all the Germans are good. And then expect the soldiers to understand why all of a sudden. I mean, you know, for 20, 30 years, we had to see the Germans as bad. And now all of a sudden today you want me to change. And now the Germans are my best friend. Okay. If you don't understand, if you don't teach those soldiers why, and you train them and you take them into what your mind is going into, then it will take a while. And it's exact same thing with your little voice. You're telling it to do X. In my case, for 40 years, it has been doing that, and it's been doing that quite well. And then out of the blue, I change it and I say, no, okay, now we're doing the exact opposite. Well, that might take more than a minute. And there's actually a few steps to that change. And if you take the steps, it can go really quickly. But if you skip steps, it will take years and a lot of frustration. So step one is, understand the mission of your little voice. What mission is it on? What did you tell it to do? You probably, in my case, I told it something like, I'm not good enough. That's one a big one for a lot of people. I am not enough. Or, I have no talents. These are very common instructions we give to our little voice. Or, I will not succeed in life. These are very common instructions. So if you understand what mission your little voice is on. And mostly, these missions have to do with proving something. So, for instance, I am on a mission to prove that I won't be successful. Why? To prove my mom and dad that I love them. Now, we talked about that in the last episode. So if you want to understand how that works, just go back to the last episode. But we can have really messed up beliefs, and our little voice is here to prove the beliefs. And if the beliefs are messed up, the results certainly will as well. So once you understand what mission your little voice is on and what it's trying to do for you, then you can say, oh, that's what you're trying to do. That's interesting, because consciously, that's not what I want. Consciously, I'd rather give you a different mission. Consciously, I'd rather give you the mission to succeed so that we can show mom and dad that we really love them and that we're better than them, and that we, because especially in my case, but I think that goes for most moms and dads, we want our children to succeed and we want them to be better than us. And we normally, we want our kids to not take up all our faults, but to find new ways and different ways. So if you know that, you can tell your little voice, you know, we want to succeed in life and to show our parents that we're capable and actually that we're better than them and they'll be proud of us. So you can give it a new mission, but you really have to talk about that with your little voice. And you'll have to. So step two is give a new mission. Step three is be patient and retrain it. And step four is give it a reward. And step five is keep playing this game until you get the results that you want. So it starts with envisioning what it is you want. See what it is you're getting. And keep unraveling what is apparently the mission and what it is you want, and keep tuning. So this is also a very good way to see what your subconscious is trying to do. Because, for instance, if I say I want to earn $1 million a year, and I'm earning $10,000 a year, then apparently there are some subconscious things that are in my way. Because if I want $1 million and I'm getting $10,000, then what mission is my little voice on? And if you look at it that way, you can say, okay, so what subconscious programs are actually playing out here? What is it that I'm believing that I don't want to be believing? So consciously, I might want to believe that I'm capable of earning $1 million. Subconsciously, I'm obviously not capable of earning that. So what's playing out there? And dive deep into your patterns. Why would that be a wise thing to do? Why would it be wise to earn only a small amount and not a big amount? So in my case, I had a belief that if I earned a lot of money, I would have no friends. And I can tell you a lot about why that belief was there, and that's very relevant, but not for now. So I had this messed up belief that if I had a lot of money, I would have no friends. Well, that is a good recipe for your little voice to say, well, you can tell me all you like about money, but we want friends too. So my little voice said, friends are more important than money. So I'm not giving you the money, because then you will have no friends and you'll be totally alone. And I didn't want that. So my little voice was actually doing really good work for me. The thing is, if you unravel why you're not getting what you want, and you keep unraveling what apparently the mission is your little voice is on, and what it is that you want, you can keep tuning it. So then I could say, well, what would it take to earn a lot of money and have friends? Why could I not have both? And my little voice came up with an answer. Well, you can't have both because. And it told me why I couldn't have both. And I said, well, I get why you're saying that, but in my experience, that's not true. So then we could work together and keep tuning it. And if you do it that way, your little voice will actually become your best friend. So how does this pertain to money? Now, let's look into an example from my own life. In reality, what does it look like? Because if we talk about it in these general terms, it's easy. But how does this little voice actually play out in real life? Now, my little voice was fine with me earning money before I had kids. But after that, it wanted me to stop earning money, marry a husband who earns enough, and be there for my kids. I will talk about how I created this specific mission next week. This is what my little voice tries to get me to do if I don't work with it. It has a very good reason. I know and understand these reasons. That's for next week. For now, I'll just describe what's going on in my mind. So the things my little voice wants me to do is to stop earning money, take care of the kids, stay home. So how does this look like? For instance, this morning, I brought my kids to daycare. And it's a holiday here right now, and they don't want to go to daycare on a holiday. They want to sleep in, and they want to have a lazy day. And my little voice is going crazy, telling me I should keep them home, work around them. How bad is it? They're 9 and 11. They can stay home alone. They won't bother me. I can just be there. And it wants me to be an example for them and give them everything they need and want. And it doesn't care if I have certain needs and wants. It wants me to take their needs as highest priority. Why it does that, I'll tell you next week. This is what it looks like. So my little voice is telling me, you're a bad mom. You shouldn't deserve to have these kids. You shouldn't send them to daycare. Your husband earns enough. This is all nonsense. So step one is understand the mission. Now, since a few months, I'm really deeply understanding that this program is not getting me anywhere. Keeping them home and working around them is not getting me anywhere. It's not getting me where I want to be business-wise, but it's also not getting my kids to the place I want to guide them. I want my kids to be self-supporting adults who are capable of saying no, capable of stating their needs, capable of doing whatever it takes. And the best thing I can do, and this can be really different for you, the best thing I can do is to get my business running in 24 hours a week during set times that I am working in high production mode in the way I want to work and be really present with my kids in all other times. And that way, I'll have both. I'll give my kids the example that sometimes a mom is not present and the rest of the day she is. And that's actually a way better way of not only getting my business running, but also getting my kids to learn something. Now, step two. So I'm changing my pattern and reprogramming this little voice by bringing them to daycare, committing to working certain specific hours, and knowing that that is good for them as they grow up. And I can feel it, and I know it. It's the best thing I can do as a mom for my kids to teach them. Sometimes you have to work in your own way, and that's good for you. But my program tells me otherwise. So my little voice goes crazy on me. Just let them sleep in, pick them up sooner, let them take an iPhone with them, bring them by car. And instead of being clear, I become fuzzy to them, giving mixed signals about, okay, you know, just be slow, eat breakfast slowly, it's a holiday. And on the other side, there's this message of, hurry up, I need to start working, get out of here. So these two mixed messages really mess up the whole atmosphere for them and for me. And then the whole bike ride to the daycare, my mind starts on a whole new detour. Let's bring them and then go into a coffee shop and drink coffee while doing a Facebook Live instead of this podcast. You wanted to do Facebook Lives for a while, and it would be so awesome. And it starts pleading and telling me how awesome it would be to go to a coffee shop, to just do a Facebook Live, to not do all this podcasting. And it starts raving about how great it would be, the best idea out there, etc. Now, deep down, I know that that's a detour tactic to get me in unproductive mode. So I will feel really bad about bringing my kids to daycare. And my little voice can tell me end of the day that I was unproductive anyway, so I could have kept them home. And I could do that every holiday. And in fact, I could just stay home and be a non-working mom. So that's a detour tactic of my little voice. But it tries to tell me, no, before you had kids, you went into coffee shops all the time to work. But that was a different time. I didn't have 24 set hours. I had 24 set hours a day, not 24 set hours a week. So step three is, I listen to my little voice and I ask my little voice, what is it that you want for me? And it tells me, I want you to be happy and content and free inside. And I want you to feel connected to your kids. So I want you to just bike ride wherever you want to go, have coffee whenever you want, feel connected to your kids, just be happy. And I tell it, okay, I get that. And you know, what would really help me is if I could finish what I want to do today so I feel proud and present and fulfilled when I pick them up. So what you are suggesting, I tell my little voice, will make me feel depleted and bad about myself. And that way, I'll be grumpy towards them and bitch them out all evening. Is that what you want? And my little voice says, no, that's not what I want. And I say, okay, so we'll go home and do it my way today. And I'll check in to see if you can live with this new way later tonight. So step four is, from experience, I now know that tonight my little voice will be as happy as I am and it will celebrate with me, eating chocolate Easter eggs with tea and have a party. So step five is understand that this will be going on for some time. I've been practicing this pattern for nearly 11 years, this pattern of depleting myself and putting my kids before me. So, and I might have even been practicing it for 40 years. It could very well be a pattern that was already existent before I had kids. But it won't change in a week. And it doesn't have to change in a week. So many people ask me at this point, there has to be a shortcut to this. And as far as I can see, the only shortcut is getting better at reprogramming and training. I always compare it to training a messed up dog. If you have a totally messed up dog and you have to train it to start behaving again, it's no use to yell at it. And it's no use to yell at your little voice. What helps is to be patient, to reward good behavior, and to show it what it is you want and what it is you're getting because of its behavior, and to work with it instead of against it. And maybe there's no guarantee for results, but there's definitely a guarantee for no results if you do it any other way. Now, next week, we'll dive into what actually programs your little voice and how you can change it. So stay tuned, and more next week. Have an awesome day. Bye.